Now on the line I have Niamh Nirouri, and she is an advocate for people in wheelchairs. Good morning, Niamh. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm in great form. Niamh, first off, can you tell us a little about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm 24 years old. I have a 15-month-old son and a partner. I'm also a final year college in DCU.
And what are you studying in DCU?
Studying journalism.
Journalism, fair play to you. I'd love to have actually studied journalism myself, but I wasn't bright enough.
You don't have to be bright, believe me, I'm not bright enough either. That's the case, but
you just,
I got in through the back way.
You just have to be inquisitive, is that it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Well, Niamh, I read an article in thejournal.ie, and you were talking about how people in wheelchairs are treated. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, I feel that people in wheelchairs are treated differently. They're like isolated from society in a way, and they're not, you know, treated as other human beings are, you know, we're not approached as a friend, and we're not approached as a colleague. I feel that it's very unfair how people kind of assume more than they know about a person just based on their appearance.
And I noted in the article you mentioned how when people come up, they may not speak to you, they may speak to somebody else, or they may speak in other ways to you. Can you tell us a little on that?
I feel that, yeah, if people do speak to me, it's at a very patronising way. It's not in a way they would talk to someone else. And I've learned that there are ways to speak to someone. If someone like bends down towards a wheelchair user, they're going to be patronising. But if they kneel down to the wheelchair user, that means that they respect them and they are sorry for what they've been through, and that they understand the problems that they face on a daily basis
in their life.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you know, when you say that they get down on their knees, they're getting to eye level with you and talking straight to your face.
Yes, exactly. And rather than bending down, they're saying, you know, I'm above you, so I don't respect you enough to kneel down to you.
Yes, I would take it as that they're behaving like you're a child. They're speaking to you like
exactly.
A child.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, in some way, that's very good to hear, because as a person myself who's not in a wheelchair, sometimes I don't know how to approach, you know, what's respectful, what's disrespectful. So it's good for someone like yourself to come on and talk to us and tell us how you feel. Being approached, and I think that's what this chat today is about. But something I've spoken to other people with mobility difficulties about is what I call the built environment. It's access to buildings, but also just walking or moving along the street where there's street furniture or people have parked cars up on footpaths.
Mm.
How do you find those things?
I find them very frustrating. I know that parking up on a path that blocks a wheelchair or a pram going by is now illegal, and I happen to know a parking security officer, so no one would want to get in my way in that regard. But pavements I find very annoying, especially in Temple Bar in town. They're is a part of Temple Bar, which is all like wicked block, and going by that part of town is always a dread for me when I am in town, just because I don't want to have to go over the uncomfortable. I don't want to experience the uncomfortable feeling that gives me of, you know, shaking up and down just in order to get by that part of town.
And is that because of the likes of these sandwich boards and other bits of furniture that are out on the footpath, blocking the footpaths?
No, it's because it's a road basically out further, and I've been told that I'm not allowed on the road, so I kind of obey. From that sense, I obey people. And on quieter roads, I tend to go out on the road because I recently passed my driver's theory test, and there was a question, and the answer said that wheelchair users are allowed on the cycle lane on the road. So I don't see a problem in going out. But the reason I have to go over this part in town is because there's no other way to get past this part of the road.
And tell me this, how's access to buildings and that for you? Are we getting better?
Better, but like yesterday, I was in St. Paul School for Autism, because they have a playground, and I was inquiring whether the public would use the playground for my son, and all the entrances in there were space, even though they had wheelchair parking, they only had steps all through the buildings, which was fairly annoying, and it seemed a bit, it was very, you know, it didn't make sense that they would allow wheelchair parking, but they wouldn't make the buildings wheelchair accessible.
I know what you mean. And I've said this a number of times, I previously worked with Tesco, and I was in the property department. And when we'd be developing a store, Tesco had a policy that there would be a certain percentage of mobility impaired spaces, and also a certain percentage of parent with child spaces. But they were always very conscious, once you entered the car park, that everybody, whether you're a wheelchair user or otherwise, that you were able to get to every part of the store, including the staff areas. So when the store was being designed and built, even though there may not have been any staff who had mobility issues, they still provided for it in future. And I think a lot of our public buildings, both new and older ones, they only, you know, tip the cap, as you might say, to people with mobility issues, and they don't follow through. They do the showy things, and they will have a mobility impaired space, but then when you try to access, whether it be a toilet or it be something else, you find no one thought about actually making them mobility impaired accessible as well.
Yeah, and they don't get, like, someone who's actually in a wheelchair, they don't get their point of view, like, from toilet perspective. They don't ask someone in a wheelchair, would this height of the toilet be okay? Or this height of the sink be okay? They just put in whatever they think is needed by a wheelchair user.
I know that I think it's called Part M of the building regulations deals with a lot of these issues. But I wonder, did the people who wrote Part M of the building regulations, did they ever consider putting in a segment that says that you should consult with people with disabilities?
At
the design stage? I think that would be a good idea, that if there was consultation with people with mobility impaired issues or other issues, so that they can access particularly all our public buildings.
Yes, I think so too.
And tell me this, what about if we look at the wider services that are available, the health services and the government services, are they adequate for people with mobility issues? Are they looking after people okay? Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, the HSC is by far not doing a good job, because I receive care for about 2 hours a day, and 1 hour a day then. I'd say 14 hours in total per week, and that is not sufficient, especially when I have a young child that I have to take care of. And my partner does most of the minding, but I can't depend on him to always be at home, you know. When I have to take my son home from fest, I can't depend for him to be at home in order to take my son home. I think the HSC is failing all people with not just mobility issues, but all kind of disabilities in general. I think the HSC is failing.
And have you any views on what they should be doing? What would you like to see?
Oh, I'd like to see them ask, you know, how many hours would you like, and see and kind of prioritize people with children and those like who have to mind other people and do things that they can't necessarily do themselves, so they're not left, you know, so they don't just have someone for an hour or two a day to mind them, and then they're gone, and their main carer has no one else for the rest of the day.
Do you think that the HSC or the people who make the decisions on how many hours a week you get care, you get care, and the type of care you get, maybe there should be, once again, more consultation, and that it isn't left to somebody who, one, is just running a budget and trying to keep things in budget, but also that it's somebody who's never had these disabilities or had these issues or these needs, and they're making decisions and don't actually understand the impact that they're having on people's lives.
Yeah, I think it should be a key requirement for the HSC to personally speak to the person who is getting help from a care provider, to ask them how many hours they think they need, rather than them just, you know, saying, you know, oh, this person doesn't need much help because they seem to be fairly independent and their condition doesn't seem to be severe.
Have you any messages that you'd like to give to the general public, to our politicians, and also to service providers?
Just, you know, treat wheelchair users like they are people, and don't treat them like children or like, you know, people who can't speak for themselves. Because I personally have dealt with that before, and it makes me very angry to experience that. So, and to like service providers, they should prioritize wheelchair users over you know, prams or buggies. I'm especially heading out at Dublin Bus because on numerous occasions I have been turned away from entering a bus because a pram has taken off the wheelchair spot.
I know a couple of months ago there was quite a lot in the media about that particular issue, and I was fairly startled to note how many of the Dublin bus fleet that the, shall we say, the lifts at the doors weren't working.
Yeah.
And that just meant that if it wasn't working, they put the bus out on the street. But if you were somebody in a wheelchair, you were just left there. You were just left at the bus stop. I thought that was a shocking thing.
Yeah, it's like they don't kind of see the importance that a person in a wheelchair needs to get to a certain place. So, and you know, just leaving a bus, and even like if a bus just breaks, then people can easily just walk off the bus, but a wheelchair user can't get off. If the bus breaks, then the ramp doesn't work either, which is very annoying. It's like wheelchair users are second class citizens.
And tell me this, have you ever tried the dart?
The dart, I used to go on the dart, there were no problems with the dart because I used to use a manual chair going on the lift, on the dart, and my dad could easily just lift the wheelchair up onto the dock, so I didn't even need a ramp or anyone else to help me get onto the dock.
Now, the reason I asked that was I noted a couple of articles about if you did need support getting on the dart, that you had to phone ahead 24 hours in advance so that somebody was there to help you. And I thought to myself, in this day and age, surely we have come up with better solutions than just having to wait for someone to come out of the office, put down a ramp for you to push you up onto the dart, and then have somebody at the other end to get you off.
Mm.
I'm sure there's some engineers out there that could come up with much better solutions.
Yeah, like I'm not the one who, I don't take, you know, being told what to do very lightly, so I kind of like to test people's patience. So, like, when you have to call up 24 hours in advance, I just think that is ridiculous. And it doesn't let anyone in a wheelchair do anything spontaneously. And I know that has been in the newspapers before, that services don't let wheelchair users do anything spontaneously. And I just think it's a total joke. That I heard that bus errands, that you have to give them 3 days notice, which I think is totally ridiculous. Because no one needs 3 days to open an email, read it, and find someone to help someone, a wheelchair user, onto the bus or die or whatever service.
I think, once again, that is somebody sitting in an office coming up with a solution without actually fully thinking it through, and also not consulting with the end user, as you might call it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So tell me, is there anything else you would like to say to maybe our local politicians? How can they support you?
Try and get services to engage more in people, in wheelchair users, and ask their opinion rather than just assume that they know what's best and do what they think is best. They should get wheelchair users' opinions on what they know is best so that they can, you know, set things out right for the future.
From listening to you, I suspect that all these things are very isolating. They tend to cut you off a lot from the rest of society. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it would be correct. Especially in a student environment, I feel that being in a wheelchair does isolate you a lot because you don't have anyone really to relate to 100%. So I'm looking at my partner. He treats me like anyone else, which is what any wheelchair user wants, or any person in general wants. And feeling isolated just kind of deters you away from that one issue that you have.
Yes, I can see. I can see that. I think the one thing I would say is that please step into the shoes of the other person and look, as they say, and look through their eyes at the world.
Yeah,
it'll make a big difference.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't have enough empathy towards people in a wheelchair or with other problems, which I feel is a big attribution that we all need. And to lack it kind of shows is how Ireland is running today, with people who lack enough empathy to consult with those who have the problem.
Would I be right in saying that if we can take one message from our chat today, is that the people making decisions for other people's lives should actually consult with those people?
Yeah.
You would agree with that?
Yes, I would 100%. Unless the person can vocally verbalise what they need, but if otherwise, then yes, I 100% agree that they should consult in the person who is requesting the service.
It's something even I would have to say that I'm probably guilty of myself, is that sometimes we don't understand the impact of our actions and decisions on the lives of others.
And that's where my whole theory of empathy comes back into play. I think people need more empathy to understand what impact their actions will play on others.
Niamh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Michael.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you.